Welcome to Amplifying Leadership. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn all about us, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming back a previous guest with a new interesting topic. Today, Richard Flint. Richard is an international speaker, author, and CEO of Flint Inc. Welcome back to the show.
You have no idea how glad I am to be back with you. I've been looking forward to this. We had a great time last time.
We did.
I'm looking forward to be even better this time. So
excellent.
Thank you, Tara, for inviting me back.
Of course, it was a great conversation before, and I can't wait to hear about this one. But before we get started, for those who maybe hadn't listened before or new to listening, tell us a little bit about your background with regards to leadership so that they remember or now know who you are.
Well, I have been on the international lecture circuit for basically 34 years, mm-hmm. and I specialize in helping leaders understand how to put three things together. Leader, leadership, and leading.
Love it. Because,
yeah, those three words become very disconnected. And in the research I've been doing lately, more and more I have found the disconnection and the disorientation in companies because leaders don't understand the difference between leader, leadership, and leading. And without that information, they don't have the strength to do what a company should do. And that's to create a presence that has presence when it's not present.
Oh, I like how you said that. Yes. So can you give us a quick definition for our listeners today of those three?
The leader is the person. And that person has to come not with a commitment to be the leader, but they have to come with a commitment with conviction. Mm-hmm. And there's a vast difference. And what I find today is that a leader without conviction becomes a participant in the conflict and confusion in the company.
Yes.
And then the leadership is the role. It's what they're there to do. They're to create a pathway forward so that the company has a desire, a determination, and the discipline every day to improve. And then leading is putting everything into action. And again, they're struggling out there today, Tara. The past 5 years of research I've been doing just tells me there is a disconnect out there. COVID sort of rewrote the script.
I think so, too. Yes. Yeah. It made major change.
Yeah. Most people haven't read the new script.
I agree with that. That's true. You know, and it's not necessarily their fault. There was so much change in our world the last 5 years, right?
Yeah. And that change, it's interesting because for change to move from change to improvement, there are three things that have to happen. You have to have an ending where you have to let go of what yesterday was.
Yeah.
Because if you can't let go of yesterday, you keep trying to repeat it. And you can't repeat what was and improve. And then you have to have a time of regrouping. And Tara, that's where you have to come together and you have to look at where do we need to adapt? What are the adjustments we need to make? And how are we going to align this newness so that the people want to go forward with us rather than walk backwards into yesterday?
Yeah.
And then the third part of that is you have to have a time of beginning anew, not new beginnings. And that's a fallacy that people think we're going to have a new beginning. You're never going to have a new beginning if you can't end the hold that yesterday has on you. Mm-hmm. You can't learn how in the world are we going to regroup this so that we can improve, because companies and people either live from yesterday to today or today to tomorrow. And the majority are living from yesterday to today right now because of one word, uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And that word is paralyzing them.
Yes, yes. And a lot of people use the word VUCA world for a volatile, uncertain, right, world. And you're right. A lot of them do get stuck with that rather than trying to build the future from today. I like how you put that.
Can I drop it down one more level real quick?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
There are only two foundations that a person can live on. One of those foundations is you have a belief in your ability. You trust that you can take that ability and use it to help people. And then you have the faith that the unknown is all, it's about discovering the adventure that is there. And the second foundation is where you give doubt an open door into your life, which then causes you to worry about what the future is going to look like because we're too busy hanging on to yesterday. And then those two together make me feel uncertain. And when I'm uncertain, I tend to live through the rear view mirror, not through the front windshield.
Yeah, we need to look forward always and adjust our path as we need to when we're moving forward. Love that. So I want to get right to it. Do you feel there is a work ethic today?
What I feel today is that the terrain has changed, and it's not changed for the better. And that in too many worlds where there is supposed to be a leader, they have erased some terms that are critical to grow a company: accountability. And if you don't hold people accountable, then they define the work ethic, not the leader.
Yeah.
Clear communication. And I find that too many people in a leadership role today are fearful of saying what needs to be said. And that's because they won't confront. And, you know, I can be with a group of people, I'll ask them, how many of you don't like confrontation? 90% of the room will raise their hand.
Yeah.
Because people don't understand confrontation. All confrontation is the skill to find a solution. It's not criticism. It's not putting people down. It's coming to you and going, you know, Tara, there's something we need to talk about because I've noticed some behaviors in you that really are not what we need right now. So you and I need to have a conversation where we find a solution. So that we can grow together, or you and I are going to have to go separate ways. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. And you hit the word there, solution. It's about bringing both parties or all parties together to create a solution that's going to work. And that is so much easier than just that conflict or that, I'll call it a fight or hitting that wall, when we can have a conversation and say, this isn't working. What solutions can we both come up with to then come to an agreement somewhere? So I, you know, I'm like you, it's confrontation you can have is a healthy conflict.
Well, if and we, what we, when we find the solution, then what we do is we have a common purpose where we're bound together. We have a common agenda, which then we can work together. And then we have the discipline that we can now move forward together.
Yeah.
You know, you asked me one question. I'll put one more level to this. I think so many people in a leadership role today are so not fearful. There's another side to this. They're so afraid of losing people that they're letting the people tell the leader what to do because they feel threatened. I've seen this in company after company that I've been researching.
It's like walking on eggshells sometimes, right? I'm sure you hear that.
Yeah, and you can feel it cracking.
Yeah, exactly. So let's dive into this a little bit deeper and how you see the workforce. So you divide the workforce into three groups: sponges, spectators, and camels. And I'm curious, how did you come up with that?
Well, sponges are the new people.
Okay.
And they're hungry. You know, when I look at new people that come into an organization, they have certain characteristics. They're eager to learn. But what many times we fail to understand, who's training them?
Yes.
Someone is always going to train your new people. Someone is always training them. The other thing is they're very excited. They look forward to coming to work. And I tell you something, that energy is contagious.
Yes, it is. And I love their energy sometimes when they come in like that. Yeah, absolutely.
And so they come in and they want to soak up everything. Now, the other thing about these little people, little sponges, is they think that everybody in the company loves them. Everybody wants them to succeed. But to a certain select group of people in the company, they're the enemy because their energy shows what they don't have. Their energy overrides. And that second group called the spectators, who are the people who go to work each day, not to work, but to watch. Their job is to wring the energy out of that little sponge. Mm-hmm. And because that little sponge, Tara, is naive, they believe that everybody's going to love them. Everybody wants them to be successful. And so they're easy to be taken advantage of.
Right.
Easy to manipulate. And the challenge we face here with the little sponges is that leadership is so busy fighting fires they didn't start, or they're so fatigued from everything that's in front of them, or they've lost their passion for what they're doing, that without realizing it, they sacrifice the little sponges to the spectators.
Yeah.
And these little sponges are important because they're your future. And one piece of our research we learned, give me 10 sponges, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then the first 9 to 10 months, you will lose 6 to 7 of those little sponges. And so what are you doing? You're losing your future.
Yeah, potential stars.
Yeah, you can lose them and still keep them if the spectators take over. Because what they do is they lose that excitement. They lose that energy. They lose that desire they have to really grow because they get sucked into that group that every day is about making the company dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And the spectators, I mean, they're... Let me just describe them.
Yes, please.
They're always late to work. Now, they're not 15 to 20 minutes late. They're 3 to 5 minutes late every day.
Every day, yes. I've known a few of them.
And that's not by accident. Because by being late to work, they can make some statements.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's leadership, or that leader, and they're telling that little sponge, you need to be here on time. And they watch the spectators walk in 3 to 5 minutes late, and no one says anything to them.
And then, and I mean, those new people, they're like, why do I have to be here on time, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And when they walk in late for work, they don't go right to work. They have to go get their coffee.
Coffee, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then once they get their coffee, then they got to get ready to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And we found in our research, by the time that they physically arrive and go to work, it's 25 to 40 minutes.
Wow, that long. Wow. That makes sense, though. If you go to the coffee or you say that hello to somebody along the way and you're already late. Yeah.
Yeah, because when they're having their coffee, all the rest of the spectators join them. And who do they invite to come have coffee with them?
The little sponges. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I ask leadership all the time, are they stealing? By being late, are they stealing from you? And they all go, yeah. And I go, no. They're only doing what you're giving them permission to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And because, again, someone is going to set the rules for the company. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to do the training. And not only are they late for work, but they're always complaining. They're negative. They're never paid enough. And then they have a negative presence. And I'm sure you've been around negative people. I have, and they wear on you.
Yes, they do. Absolutely agree. You know, it can be frustrating if you come into work and you see that and you're trying to be positive and it can be very difficult. Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody has probably been around one of those people.
And they have two major pathways to be negative. They're always putting the leader down. Well, if I was the leader, I wouldn't do it this way. And who are they feeding that to?
Of course, our new people, our little sponges.
Yeah, yeah. The little sponges. Or what they're also complaining about are the people who are the quality people who are actually doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll look at them and go, that's management's pet.
And, yeah.
You know, they get all the easy stuff and we get the crap. And
I'm sure everybody in the audience is going, yes, I've been there. I've noticed that.
Well,
very
and
typical.
Here's another thing about them. They love to gossip.
Mm-hmm.
And they gossip about management. They gossip about your quality people. And every day, what are they doing? They're finding something to feed the little sponges. And if your listeners don't remember anything, you remember this. Training is always happening in the company. Someone is going to train the people. And mm-hmm. the majority of the time, it is the spectators that are training the little sponges. I mean, here are these little sponges. They're going to stay in spongehood somewhere between 3 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a dream. They want to get out of Spongeville, and they want to make it to Camelot, where the quality people are. Because the third group you have are your camels. And these are the backbone of the company. These are the people that you depend on. And why? Their quality in everything that they do.
Mm-hmm.
They are committed with conviction to the company. They are honest. They are loyal. And I ask leadership all the time. You have a top customer, and you've got a job for that customer that needs to be done. It needs to be done, and it needs to be done on time. It needs to be right and done on time. And you got a spectator over there who could do it. But you question how they would do it,
right,
and how it would be done. And you got a two-hump camel over here who is already overloaded. But if you went to that two-hump camel and said, listen, this is critical for this customer, and you know our value, and can you help me? They'll never tell you no.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask leaders, is that abusive to the camel?
Excellent question.
And it is, because you're abusing the commitment of the camel and rewarding the behavior of the spectator. And here are your little sponges. And Tara, they're watching everything that goes on. Why? Because they're mm-hmm. eager. Eager has an energy to it. You see, you hear, you listen. You want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit there sometimes and they scratch their head because why would you punish this person over here and not confront this person over here? Now, in our research that we did, in the average, and my word is average, okay? In the average organization, spectators make up 75 to 78% of the workforce.
Wow.
And today we're keeping 92 to 95% of them because we're fearful of losing them. Because we don't have anybody to replace them with.
Right.
So I can make excuses for them. Man, you should have been with me in some of the companies we researched, sitting in there and just watching that person who is the leader make excuses for keeping people whom they know are the enemy of the company. I interviewed one young man that worked for one of the major Fortune 500 companies, and he was a two-hump camel. And by the way, so that your audience knows, there are two types of camels. One-hump camels, which are your little sponges that are working their way out of Spongeville and making it to Camelot.
Got it. And I love that.
The challenge is, on the way to Camelot, they get attacked by the spectators. And mm-hmm. you know what? The spectators will either bring them into their fold or chase them off. And then the one-hump camel in the Arab world is known for speed. That's why they race them like we do horses.
Right.
So
yeah.
that little one hump camel has got to be taught pace. They got to be taught patience. They have to be taught persistency, which are processes.
Mm-hmm.
And that two hump camel is not known for speed. It's known for endurance. And that is a person whom is there for the long journey.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting fact about a two-hump camel, and it's factually true. When it's angry, mad, or upset, it will walk till it finds a person and spit on them.
I've seen the camels do that, yeah.
Yeah. And so here you have this two-hump camel that is committed. But they're watching everything that's going on. They're watching that person called the leader cave in to the spectators.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching them sacrifice the little sponges. This young man I was referring to was a two-hump camel, been with the organization 15 years. And we sat and we talked, and I could feel the disappointment in him. I could feel the anger. I could just feel his presence. He said, Richard, he said, when I first came to work here, he said, this was a great company. And he said, we were about people first, product second, and profit third.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but I've watched over the years, and he said, here's what we're doing. Profit first, product second, people third. And he said, we're losing our reputation. We have lost customers because we put money in front of the customer.
Yes, can't do that. It's got to be people first, customers, employees, you know, that's where profit comes from. It's like the basis of it, right?
So the result.
Yes.
And he told me, he said, you know, I was so distraught that I went into my manager and he said, I just wanted to just talk to him about what I saw going on. And he said, the manager sat there and listened to him for a little bit and then he cut him off. And he says, I don't disagree with you. But he said, you know what? I got two more years here and I'm going to retire. And if I do what you're asking me to do, I got to go back to work. And it's there are things that are affecting leaders today. Fatigue.
Yes, burnout. Sure.
I've never seen people as tired as what I see them today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beyond just being tired. It's beyond being exhausted. It's fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And what fatigue is when my inner well of passion is slowly draining and I can't get it refilled.
Yes, absolutely. I see a lot of that myself with the leaders that I also coach, and the burnout and the fatigue just is so much more than it ever used to be.
Yeah. And I would be happy to share this with your listeners. There are two articles that I've published around the world. And one is entitled Don't Quit, which is the difference between flame out and burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And flame out is the prelude to burnout.
Yes.
I've been able to identify the characteristics to flame out. And if I can deal with a human while they're in flame out, a lot of the time we can turn them around. But if they get to burnout,
it's difficult.
They become an empty vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the
other article is entitled, You Can't Feed Them If You Don't Know Them. And this is where I did an in-depth article on the sponges, the spectators, and the camels. And it goes into real depth about what do they need from leadership?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the little spongers, they need someone who will invest patient energy in them. But if I've already got more on my plate than I can do, and little sponge comes to me and he goes, you know, he's eager and he's got a question. And rather than turning the question into a classroom, I give him the answer. So what have I done now? I've made them dependent on me.
Yes.
Or what that person will tell the little sponge, you know, I don't have time right now. Let's deal with this later. And here are the spectators out there with their ears against the door.
Yeah.
The minute that little sponge comes out, they take them into their classroom and teach them.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you this. If you could give, you know, a tip to our listeners out there, if they notice the spectator taking over that sponge, how can we switch them to a camel as a leader?
Well, I get it. I'll ask this all the time. Can a spectator ever become a camel? No, not in the environment that they're in, because they have figured out how to manipulate the leader.
Right.
You have figured out what the weaknesses are. And I'll tell you something, Tara. These spectators are some of the smartest people you'll ever meet in your life. They're not dumb. And they know how to manipulate the system. And they know that leadership does not want to lose them, so they threaten them. And rather than the leader saying, let me go get some boxes and I'll help you pack your stuff.
Right. Yeah. And our audience can't see that I'm smiling, but I'm thinking about my 20 plus years working, and I can already picture who those spectators versus camels are in my mind. I can see them
And
and
you can see
everything
how
that,
they work, can't you?
yes, yeah, absolutely. And it's incredible when you define them like this, just how easy it is to pinpoint who those people are. So if you had to give our leaders that one great big tip today to take from you, what would it be?
Be the leader, not the participant.
I love
Know what
that.
Know what your role is.
Yeah.
And understand that in order to be the leader, you have to be able to walk among your people, not with your people. And as you walk among your people, what you've got to be in order to gain their respect, you have to be that positive presence that has a presence when you're not present. Had a guy tell me one time, Richard, I'd love to come to your leadership seminar that you're doing, but I can't leave my people. He said, if I did, my company's going to fall apart. I said,
Oh,
then
dear.
just sit here and watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because leadership is about presence. And every great leader I have ever looked at listens, communicates clearly, confronts, delegates, and makes sound decisions in a timely fashion.
Absolutely love that. And, when I was leading, I took my 2-week vacation and I was comfortable with doing that because you had a great team behind you. So I love that you mentioned that presence piece, because if you can't go away for a day or a vacation and be comfortable, then maybe it's looking at your leadership development is that place that we need to start.
Yeah, I know our show is going to air after I've already done this, but on May the 7th, I'm doing a free webinar on having a presence of quality, where we're going to take that whole concept of positive presence that's present, and we're going to talk about how do you put this together. And maybe there might be somebody out there that would say, you know what? Maybe this is what we need to do for our people. Maybe we could do this program for our leaders and our managers. Because if you don't have a positive presence, you have a negative presence. There's nothing in between. It is either a positive presence or a negative presence. And we detail in this program, what is the difference between a positive presence and a negative presence? And if I'm tired, if I'm exhausted, if I'm fatigued, if I've lost my passion, if I'm moving through flame out in order to get to burnout, I'm not the leader.
Yeah, I loved everything that you said today, and I'm sure it resonates with almost everybody out there who has worked, period, right? I mean, there's sponges and spectators and camels out there. So if our audience wanted to find a little bit more about you, or even if you are going to be running that seminar again, how can they find you online to learn more about your company?
Let me give you three ways to find me.
Perfect.
My website is richardflint.com. And it shows you everything we're doing, because we're doing some magnificent things.
Great.
And then I mentioned to you that I've spent the last 5 years working on what I think is the most in-depth leadership program I've ever put together. And it is a program to rehab leadership. And
love
it's
it.
eight modules, 16 weeks. And it takes every challenge, every struggle, every frustration that leadership has, and gives you solutions of how to turn from a participant to the leader of an organization. It's a by invitation only program. I turn away probably 70% of the people who want to join it because they're not ready for it. But if your audience would like information, it's successhouse.co, not
All right.
C-U-M, successhouse.co. And We'll still be doing it whenever this show airs, but every Friday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time, I do an open mic.
Okay.
Where people can come on. We have a question for the day, and then we open the mics and people can share and people can talk. And it's become like a community, because people today are looking for ears, not mouths.
Yeah.
And they're looking for people who have experienced and have moved beyond where they are. Tara, my commitment, and it's been since I started, I want three things for your audience. And I have the gifts to do this. I want people to be better. I want them to know how to live from today to tomorrow, not yesterday to today. I want them to be smarter. And that is, I want them to understand that in your life, you have two sets of filing cabinets, all your disappointments and another set, all your successes. Every decision you make is determined by which of those sets of filing cabinets you go to. And then I want you to be stronger. I want you to understand, how can I create that positive presence that is present when I'm not present? And if I've raised any questions in the minds of your listeners, and man, I get in trouble for doing this, but my email address is simple, richard@richardflint.com. And if I've raised a question with you that you would like to just maybe delve into, send me an email. I answer all my emails. No one reads my emails but me. And I'll probably frustrate you, because what you may write paragraphs about, I'll generally answer in one statement.
Yes.
Because life is simple. It's what you're looking for. Are you looking for confusion or clarity?
Always clarity, I'm sure.
Yeah. 8 out of 10 look for confusion, because that's where they can get their excuse, their justification, and their reason for not doing
fair enough.
What they
do. Yeah. Thank you, Richard, again, for coming on and just helping us understand all your knowledge and, you know, everything that you've learned over the last 5 years. And of course, your tips today. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you for inviting me back. I have enjoyed this. You're a good host. I like talking.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Richard. Of course, we want to thank our audience as well. We hope that you have gained some valuable information or tips from Richard today. If you are a leader who knows that leadership coaching, consulting, and community are the way to grow on your journey, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Life Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, please be safe and be an amazing leader for leaders to be.